Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
My name is Ryan, and for those of you who don't know, I'm the youth pastor and worship pastor here at the church, and just honored to be with you here this morning and get to hang out, go over the word together, and just be open to what he has for us in his presence. Amen. How's your guys' peace this morning? It's kind of a maybe odd way of asking how you're doing, but did you know that back in the day, in the Hebrew culture, people would commonly kind of ask how the other person is doing by asking that question, how is your peace? And I think it's a really important thing for us to ask because honestly, you know, when we're being authentic, when we're being people who are being real about what's going on in our hearts, I think it would make us think twice if someone asked us how our peace is because, you know, we quickly and easily answer other questions, and sometimes we accidentally lie when we do so. What I mean is when someone asks you, hey, how are you? And you immediately say, oh, I'm doing great, when on the inside you're probably falling apart, terrible, had a bad week, had a bad day, etc. But if someone asks you, how is your peace, would it not make you pause for a moment and really think about the nature of that question? Do I even feel like I have peace? We're going to be talking about peace today. And just like Pastor Fred had been going over, we're called to really be overseers when it comes to what we are allowing into our hearts and what we're allowing out of our mouths and the way that we are handling our lives. We need to be people who are on the lookout for what we are allowing in those areas. Because quite frankly, I think the propensity that we have is just kind of let whatever come in and whatever come out. And on the meantime, we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting other relationships that we have. And one of the biggest reasons is because we have a misunderstanding about what it means to have the peace of God. And we're going to go over more of that. But I wanted to ask you that question. How is your peace? And rhetorically speaking, you know, I'm not asking you to blurt it out, but really think about that. How are you this morning? How is your peace? Do you have peace? Let's go ahead and stand up and read the vision. And if you've got Bibles with you, you can also go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, right now we come before you, open for more. I pray, God, that everything that's going on in our hearts that's causing a racket, causing turbulence, noise, that those things would cease, and instead, God, we would be in your peace. Holy Spirit, would you just come, invade this place with your presence. Help us, Lord, to be one with you. Help us, God, to have quietness and rest in our souls. Help us to understand how important peace is, Lord. Lord, help us to be a people that are coming together, Lord, for the purpose of getting to know you more and glorifying you, becoming more like Christ in the process. Help us, Lord, to not let anything else take precedence over that, that we would understand how important this is, God. That this would not be something that we just kind of let go in one ear and then out the other. This would be something that you would bring conviction with and encouragement with. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, the word anxious, when it says be anxious for nothing, means to be pulled apart in many different directions. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm being pulled apart in many different directions. I think really in our culture, it's commonplace to have all kinds of voices in your life and all kinds of pressures in your life that are trying to vie for your attention. You know, as a youth pastor, I often think about the pressure that we put upon teens. But think about it for a moment. They've got their parents to listen to, maybe their step-parents to listen to. They've got teachers to listen to, coaches out of, you know, all the three sports or four sports that they're in. Coaches to listen to, teammates, friends, and then the voice, the loud voice, by the way, of social media that they think they have to listen to. There is a lot of pressure and a lot of voices vying for their attention. And they feel like they're being pulled apart in many different directions. And anxiety is rampant in today's youth. Absolutely rampant. But I like to remind the teens of a verse that says, "Remember now the Lord God in the days of your youth, before the hard days come." Because, to be honest, as difficult as our teenage years might be, well, things get a little more complicated when you add, you know, kids into the mix. Maybe more than one, maybe more than two, who knows? You add kids into the mix and things start to become a little more challenging. You add a career into the mix and things might become a little more challenging. A household to take care of, maybe pursuing secondary education. You start to have all kinds of voices on top of the voices that you used to have, and you feel like you're being pulled apart in many different directions. And it fills you with anxiety. And when you're in that anxiety, you are not feeling at peace. You see, within the past 5 years, Barna Group has done some research that has shown, that has demonstrated, that 49% of U.S. residents between the ages of 18 and 35 expressed anxiety over important decisions that they had, and that they were afraid also to fail. 39% said that they felt sad or depressed, and 34% said they felt lonely and isolated. As I said, this is pretty rampant, and this was, again, a group of ages between 18 to 35, so especially in our younger generation, we've got an up-and-coming generation as well of people who are only exhibiting worse anxiety problems than ever before. Peace is not something that seems to be very common in today's young people. If you were to really ask them, what do you think peace is? Who knows what kind of answers you'd get? But the truth is, it's not just young people, it's really everybody. Everybody is struggling, of any age group, to really hold on to and understand what peace even feels like. Actually, there's a path here in town I really love to walk on. It's called the Feeder Canal Trail. It's on the south side of town. If any of you know where Graceland Cemetery is, it starts there and it goes along by the river for, actually they recently connected this path with the rest of the bike paths that are in Piqua. If you've never walked it before, I highly recommend, actually no, don't, because I want it for myself. Nonetheless, it is one of my favorite places in the world to walk. It's really honestly a beautiful place. And if you're like me, and you love pumpkin anything, and fall is your favorite season, then my highest recommendation is to, get that pumpkin spice latte, go out there in the fall while the leaves are turning different colors, and just walk out there in that crisp autumn weather and enjoy it. Breathe it in. But is that the same thing as peace? Now, how many of you have heard of the agape love of God? You've heard the word agape before. How many of you have heard of the word irone? This is called the irone peace of God. And I want us to become as familiar as we are with the agape love. I want us to become as familiar with that as we are with the irone peace. The irone peace of God. This verse we just read says, be anxious, again, pulled apart in many directions, Don't let that happen to you. It says for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word for peace here is irone, like I said, and this is what it means in the Greek. It means one. It means quietness. It means rest. It means to set at one again. As opposed to, for instance, being pulled apart in many different directions, you are set at one again. And it also goes on to say, and this is important, it says tranquility and peace of mind that arises from reconciliation with God and a sense of divine favor. It is a type of peace that comes from understanding your relationship with Jesus, your relationship to God through Jesus' death on the cross, because that is the means by which you and I have been reconciled to God, was through Jesus' death on the cross, that his blood was shed for us, that our sins were forgiven, and that we now have open access to God the Father because of Jesus Christ. There is a type of peace that comes from that, that only comes from that, and comes from nothing else, not even pumpkin spice lattes and beautiful bike paths. Circumstances cannot touch this. It is a type of peace completely based upon knowing that you are reconciled with God through Jesus, and that you have, like it says, a sense of his divine favor. So it's not based on circumstances, it's based on relationship. Peace based upon relationship, specifically to Jesus. So, trusting that our relationship with Jesus has reconciled to us through God to the point of where we have that sense of divine favor. That's what it feels like to have that kind of peace. You are growing in understanding that God has favored you, that God loves you, that God cares for you. If you are walking around thinking God hates you and wants to hold a grudge against you, you are not walking in the peace I'm talking about. It's not the peace I'm talking about. If you're walking around holding unforgiveness against yourself and a grudge and constantly berating yourself and insulting yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror and you can't help but to think negative thoughts and speak negatively over yourself, you are not walking in the peace of God that I'm talking about. You can go to church all you want. Doesn't mean you're walking in peace. You can listen to as many sermons as you want or read as many books as you want. It does not mean you are walking in peace. This peace literally gives you the sense of the divine favor that God has upon you as his son or as his daughter. And it's something we grow in and develop in over time. See, when you first become saved, God gives this peace to you. But that does not mean you understand it. And it does not mean that you have practiced walking in it. And it really, it's going to point to the fact that all of us in this room can stand to grow and to learn more about it so that we do camp out in it more often, that we do live out of this kind of peace. That's what it's like to have it. To not have this sense of peace is to be missing out on the fullness of the Christian life. Amen. To have it is to feel set at one again, instead of pulled apart in many directions, like what anxiety produces. It is to feel quietness and rest in your very soul. I've sat in those really peaceful places before, you know, like the ones I described, like that bike path. And I try to get quiet, and I sit there. Next thing you know, the foot starts to tap. Or if I'm at a table somewhere and it's quiet, I start to kind of do this with my fingers. Anyone else fidgety like me? Really? Come on, we invented fidget spinners for a reason and stuff like that. We're fidgety people, okay? And the reason we're fidgety is because we're always moving on to the next thing. And we get real antsy when we have to sit there. Wow, I made my water jump when I did that. We get real antsy and distracted when we try to sit and be still. And we try to be in God's peace. And we try to understand how to be cultivated in it, but we start to get really frustrated with being still because it is not within our nature. We've been cultivated in a culture of fast pace, keep moving, keep buying, keep selling, keep absorbing, keep consuming, keep doing whatever you can to just make yourself feel better, no matter what it takes. We can't stand boredom. Oh my. That is the greatest enemy, we think. If we're bored, then, oh man, the day is wasted and we have to do something for fun. We got to do something to make ourselves feel better. Maybe we'll go on a shopping spree. Maybe we'll, you know, go and binge watch something on Netflix. Maybe we'll, whatever the case might be, we just cannot stand to be still in his presence. We don't have the slightest clue what it feels like oftentimes to live in and live out of the irane peace of God, where your very soul is quiet and at rest in him. See, it's interesting. When you read this verse, tell me what's doing the guarding, okay? It says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is doing the guarding? Peace. Peace. This peace is said to guard our hearts and minds through Christ. So listen, instead of you guarding your peace, according to this verse, it's your peace that guards you. This is an important distinction to make. To have it is to be protected. To go without it is to be open to the attacks of the enemy upon your heart and mind. It is the irane peace of God. Having a sense of this peace is what guards you. It is what keeps you safe from the assaults of the enemy upon your heart and upon your mind.
Amen.
It is important to have because it's what guards you.
Yeah.
And without this guard, well, you and I aren't very good guards of ourselves. But like Pastor Fred's been talking about, we've been charged with understanding that, hey, we have the task of being in charge of what's coming in and what's coming out in our lives. You cannot do it without peace. You will fail at that job of being a bishop, an overseer of your own life, if you do not have the irane peace of guard to guide you and help you to know what to let in and what to kick out, or what to say or what not to say. You see, this word keep or guard means this in the Greek. It's the word phureo, and it means to be a watcher in advance. This is what peace does for us. To be a watcher in advance, to mount guard as a sentinel, in parentheses is what this means, is to post spies at the gate, which is really fascinating to me, to hem in, to protect, and to keep, as with a garrison. This is really military language that we're using here, this Greek word, phureo. So, to spell it, phureo, it's P-H-R-O-U-R-E and O with a hyphen above the O. Phureo. So, peace is what guards our hearts. And what guard means is to keep a watch. Your peace is keeping a watch for you in advance of everything else that's trying to come to steal, kill, and destroy your life, of anything that's trying to come and disturb you in a not good way. There's such a thing as being disturbed in a good way. Sometimes we got to be shaken up and like to really see something that God's trying to show us. But I mean in a bad way disturbed. It's keeping a watch over things that are going to try and fill you with anxiety and fear. And without peace, those things are going to come in unchecked and wreak havoc in your life. Peace needs to be the thing that guards us. It's keeping a watch. It's protecting with like a military garrison surrounding you, hemming you in before and behind, within and without, above and beneath, and side to side. Peace, the peace of God, the kind of peace that only comes from him. Does that make sense? Okay. Peace guards your heart, and its absence leaves you susceptible to being pulled apart in all directions from anxiety. Therefore, when you feel pulled apart by concerns, you cannot be said to be at peace. And remember, this peace arises from what? An understanding of how we have been reconciled to God through Jesus. So, if you're feeling pulled apart by anxiety, then you are not, by definition, being mindful of your relationship to God through Jesus. And that's kind of an uncomfortable thought because we're good church-going people, right? And we do all these different things and we read our Bibles and we pray and I'm just here to tell you that every single one of us have the potential of being susceptible to this. That we can, I think it's not good to say it this way. We say that we things take our peace. And I understand what we mean. I say that too a lot. I think what's really happening is we give it. We give our peace away. Because we received it as a gift from God. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Again, this is irone. And when we don't have that, and like any fruit, by the way, it needs to be cultivated over time. These are the characteristics of God, the character that Jesus had. We're called to grow in. But no matter how often you go to church or watch PureFlix, you don't automatically live in this peace. It has to be grown and cultivated. And for things to be grown and cultivated, it's going to take time. And it's going to take intentionality. It's going to take being someone who is mindful of these things. This is useful. This is where it becomes very practical and useful for you and I to understand. Because the absence of peace now becomes a warning sign or a red flag signaling you that something is amiss in your thought life. So as soon as your peace is taken away, something's wrong. See, I did it right there. As soon as your peace is taken away, as soon as you give your peace away, something is wrong. As soon as that rises up inside of you in anxiety and fear or wrath or you name it, it starts to rise up inside of you instead of living out of a remembrance of the fact that you're saved and belong to God. You need to know that this is the first red flag. This is how peace guards us. This is part of the process. It's like peace giving you a warning sign saying, hey, this is something trying to enter in and you need to pay attention. This is something that's trying to get the best of you. This is something that's trying to go in unchecked into your mind and wreak havoc on your souls to steal, kill, and destroy. So as soon as your peace, as soon as it gets kicked out and it's no longer there, you're not feeling it, you're not aware of it anymore, you're not mindful of it, you start to get into dangerous territory. When are the times that you say things you regret the most? Right after you kick peace out. It was guarding your heart a little bit before that, but then suddenly you're like, you know what? I think I'll have more satisfaction by ripping this person's head off. The moment that you feel like you have violated your conscience, the moment that you feel like peace is taking a back seat and you're no longer mindful or aware of it, you're not living in it, you are suddenly in dangerous territory, and whatever you think is you're going to do to make yourself feel better, the thing that you're going to run to try to replace that peace, it's not going to be good. The enemy laughs at that and takes joy in that because it's actually stealing and killing and destroying your life and your relationships, especially when you're saying words like that to your wife, your husband, your kids, the people that mean the most to you at the end of the day. You need to live in peace with them, the irone peace, because if you're living out of anything else in your household, you're damaging each other. Instead, we're called to be peacemakers, aren't we?
Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall what? Yeah, inherit the earth. Yeah, we are people who are called to be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers. A peacekeeper might be satisfied with keeping the status quo and things are not healthy or good and they're toxic. We're called to actually confront reality with the irone peace of God.
Amen. That's right.
And live in it as much as possible. So peace is what guards our heart. And anytime we, again, are feeling the absence of that peace, let that be the first red flag, the first warning sign. I remember one time I was praying. I had had a conversation with a friend who suddenly in the midst of this conversation, I must have like touched a nerve or something because suddenly they were like really upset with me. And this wasn't even like that long ago, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but I was taken aback by the level of anger that suddenly came out of this person and some of the things that they were saying that were not so nice to me. And I remembered I was mindful in that moment. I was like, Lord, how do you want me to like respond to this? Because like, there are things I could say, but I have a feeling that you really don't want me to say some of those things. And so as cordially as possible, I You know, I helped kind of navigate the conversation back to better terms, right? But it wasn't really the end of it for me, because several weeks later, I'm still thinking about that encounter, and it would just like come into my mind all of a sudden, and I would feel a lack of peace. And I'd shoo it away, the thought. And I would, you know, I'd start to try to pray, and I'd be having a time of prayer with the Lord. And suddenly this is that episode pulls up into my mind, and what the person was saying, I was like, get behind me, Satan. You know what I mean? Like we do with so many of the thoughts that come unbidden into our minds. And it just keeps coming, and it keeps coming. No matter how many times I'd bind it in Jesus' name or try to get it out of my thought life, it just wouldn't leave me alone until finally a light bulb turned on in my mind. And I was like, wait a second. God, are you trying to talk to me about this? And suddenly I realized that God wanted me to talk to him about what had happened. And I had not up until that point done so. Even though it was like a conversation that I felt like was something that it impacted my peace and felt like it, you know, maybe gave me some anxiety or maybe feelings of mistrust with this person, I would just shoo it away, thinking that, oh, it doesn't feel good, it feels negative, therefore I don't want to focus on it. When in reality, God is like, no. Because it made you feel that way, you need to talk to me about it.
Right.
That's the whole point. Because it's something you gave your peace to, because it was something that you noticed the absence of peace during, it should have been a red flag, something to warn you and show you, hey, this is something I want to talk to you about. Well, I didn't do that. I just kept shooing it away until that moment. And as soon as I began to talk to God about it, suddenly I started to get wisdom from him about what happened. And it's like I replayed the conversation in my head, but this time it was as if with God's commentary in the background. Well, as if I saw this moment replayed in my mind and God's commentary was in the background. And God told me, one of the reasons this person acted this way with you is because he remembers how you used to be when you would try to shove the Bible down his throat. And he wants to know if you're safe. I'm like, what's that mean, if I'm safe? He wants to know if he treats me that way and speaks to me that way, am I going to respond by either being an angry jerk back to him or try to respond by shoving the Bible down his throat like I used to? And I realized that I had a prime opportunity in that moment, and I believe it was handled correctly in the moment, but God wanted to tell me about it. He wanted to explain something that was going on beneath the surface. And it gave me, guess what? It restored my peace. I felt like, oh, that's why he was lashing out. He wants to see if I'm a safe person after all these years. Or am I just going to be same old Ryan who doesn't have an ounce of tolerance or grace? Well, it really gave me perspective. Like I said, it really helped to restore a sense of peace. And now I handle the relationship differently with that wisdom now added unto how I approach the relationship. When we talk to God about the things that deeply bother us or the relationships that we have, God wants to give us wisdom and direction on how to do these relationships right. When we approach it from the area of, God, how do you want me to do relationships in my life? And you really like you take the ownership of that relationship and say, God, can you please partner with me on how to do this? It changes how we approach one another. But where I'm at is a place where God is trying to call me to be a person of peace, a person of Irene peace, where no matter what the circumstances are around me, we're going to be called to exercise peace.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.